Cal Matters lectures Globe on who's allowed to practice journalism. Watchdog Pub scolds rivals but fails to ask for comment. By Ken Kersen, March 29, 2021. There's an alarming trend occurring in journalism right now. Woke scolds are no longer content simply to fire those with forbidden points of view. They also want the power to decide who is entitled to call himself a journalist. The newsletter platform Substack is the latest to undergo this fascinating phenomenon. Because it is home to unconventional thinkers, those who are uncomfortable with diverse points of view have tried to apply pressure to the platform itself. The idea that if you don't like something, you can simply not read it has crumbled. Now, if you don't like something, it must not exist. Tactics used by the cancelers make Saul Alinsky look like a Girl Scout. Glenn Greenwald, a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist who has spent his entire career opposing big government surveillance, sometimes to the point of jeopardizing his safety, has somehow been targeted as a transphobe. Liberal science journalist Jesse Singal had the audacity to mention, and did so in the most apologetic and diluted way possible, the fact that some teenagers who seek sex reassignment surgery eventually regret the decision. For his apostasy, he has earned a relentless and coordinated attack so vicious and persistent that it's indistinguishable from the bullying some lunatics on the right have employed against journalists they dislike. Naturally, California is not only not immune from this unfortunate phenomenon of journalists trying to silence journalists, it is a world leader. On Friday night, Cal Matters ran a story attacking the California Globe and other publications. The premise is that this publication and others do not meet Cal Matters' licensure requirements. And what neutral source do they turn to for proof? Gil Cisneros, the recently defeated Democratic congressman, who lost his re-election bid in California 39 to Republican Young Kim. Cal Matters quotes Cisneros saying, "It is unfortunate that there are outlets out there that are claiming to be legitimate media outlets, and they're not, whether it is the California Globe or Breitbart, which are just an extension of the Republican agenda. They're not there to tell legitimate news stories or to report the news." In fact, the Globe employs two full-time California-based journalists and dozens of freelancers, and has broken many important stories of public interest. We also happen to take fairness seriously. Just this week, we found ourselves in possession of a very juicy, properly sourced tidbit about a top Democrat. We decided to let it bake a little longer as we weighed the risk of losing the scoop versus the public interest of a story that would possibly hurt those involved. But whatever. The Cal Matters story also quotes Brookings Institute senior fellow Elaine Kamark, a former Al Gore advisor, who tisks that on the internet you can pretend you're a reliable source, that you're a real newspaper, and people believe you. Perhaps it's no surprise that Cal Matters quotes two high-profile Democrats in a story about how biased its rivals are. But the troubling part about this, in case you don't consider journalists trying to deplatform other journalists troubling enough, is that the example Cal Matters raises in hoping to cancel the Globe is completely wrong. From the point of view of journalism ethics, the Globe did everything correctly. While in its own story about our sins, Cal Matters committed one of the most egregious and obvious ethical breaches in all of journalism. Here's what happened. In September, the Globe ran a story by our editor-in-chief, Katie Grimes, that noted several stock sales made by Congressman Cisneros. Soon after publication, Katie heard from a lawyer representing Cisneros named Andrew Werbrock, which challenged our story. Although what we reported was correct and true, he noted that the failure to contextualize the sales, which the congressman had indeed made, made the transactions seem more fishy than they actually were. Katie brought the letter to my attention. This was the first time I'd heard of this issue or seen her story, and she and I discussed it. We reviewed together the emails she had sent to Congressman Cisneros' press office prior to publication, asking for comment. We decided that the lawyer was essentially correct. Although what we printed was true, it was misleading, and thus we decided to remove the story rather than just append one of those small print corrections. We did so immediately, within hours of hearing from Werbrock, and he wrote us to say, "Thank you, Ken," and added, "I appreciate the prompt response." Given the speed of journalism, errors are inevitable. but that's the right way to handle this kind of thing. Reach out for comment before publication and quickly address legitimate requests for correction. A few months later, Cal Matters began asking Katie about this story. Ludicrously, the main question from Freddie Brewster was, where did the information for this story come from? I don't know how Cal Matters practices its journalism, but at the Globe, our sources know that when they speak to us, they do so in confidence. Brewster also wanted to know, how closely does Ken Kersen work with the California Globe? My involvement is hardly a secret. Anyone who's dying to read my stories about how AB5 affected California's musicians or my scoop about Pacific Magazine closing can find those and all my articles on my author page. But the Cal Matters story commits a much more fundamental breach of journalistic ethics. The story mentions me 4 times. The authors of the story never reached out to me for comment. I accept that my links to high-profile political figures is a fact of my existence. Journalists understand search engine optimization and the value of shoehorning names like Jared Kushner and Donald Trump into their stories, regardless of how little those people have to do with the matter at hand. And my own stupid behavior has certainly added to the irresistibility of using my name for clickbait. But how the hell do you write a story that negatively mentions me 4 times without asking me for comment? Especially in a story that scolds the Globe over our right to practice journalism. The Globe gave Cal Matters the opportunity that Cal Matters failed to offer me. I asked Freddie Brewster why he hadn't contacted me for comment. Brewster told me, after he learned from Katie Grimes that I hadn't been involved in the Cisneros story, he decided it wasn't relevant to contact you for comment. I don't agree with that conclusion, but I was heartened to learn that he'd at least given the matter some thought. These little media feuds are never as interesting to real people as they are to journalists. The Cal Matters story didn't land any punches, and this reply won't either. But I'm worried about something much more important than the hurt feelings of a few media types. The goal of powerful institutions is not just to win in the marketplace of ideas, it's to hold a monopoly. For years, complaints about the obvious leftward tilt of Twitter were met with, well, if you don't like it, start your own. So Parler starts, and the instant people object to what's being said there, and I don't like a lot of it either, the giant monopolists literally unplug the entire platform. Our little site here is doing okay with about 1 million page views a month. But the idea that we're a threat to the very serious people at Cal Matters is a joke. They don't want to beat us in traffic or influence. They want us not to exist. That ought to concern all fair-minded people, including those who dislike what they perceive as our political bent.